Thank you, Mr. Troyer. Good afternoon, good Sabbath to all of you here. Nice to see all the visitors with us today as well. Help our numbers a bit today with Teen Speech Club. There's a number of our folks over there, so it's nice to have visitors with us here today. And I'd also like to welcome those on the webcast. Good to have you with us as well this Sabbath. I'd like to begin today by turning to 2 Peter chapter 3. If you'd all turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll look at a couple verses here near the end of Peter's second epistle as a lead-in for our topic for today. Now, earlier in this chapter, Peter is writing of the return of Christ to earth, so it's that context that we'll read verses 13 and 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, and let's read verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Thus, we see the word therefore here in verse 14, which connects it to verse 13. Peter says, therefore, looking forward to these things, the things in verse 13 and above that. Look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, we believe in God's promise of a new heavens and a new earth. And as we are looking forward to God's fulfillment of his promises, Peter instructs us and encourages us to be diligent, to be hard at work, to give painstaking effort to three things. He says, be diligent to be found by him, by Christ at his return, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, there may be no real significance to the order of these three, but it's interesting that he's put be found in peace first, and then followed that with without spot and blameless. All three are interesting to study into further, and all three could certainly be a separate message in and of themselves. So for today, let's look into peace, and more specifically, how can we be found by him in peace? How can we be found by him in peace? What do you think of when you hear the word peace? Maybe the opposite or the absence of war might come to mind when you hear the word peace. How about freedom from quarrels and disagreements with others? In other words, peace is an absence of conflict, peace in our relationships with others. Maybe we think of a quiet tranquility, maybe a peaceful stillness. Possibly we think of an inner calm, a clear mind and conscience, and we feel at peace within ourselves. Now, the Garden of Eden was a place of total peace and harmony and tranquility. I picture the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve dressing and keeping God's spectacular creation as the most peaceful place ever on earth. Now, maybe we've all wondered at times what the Garden of Eden might have looked like and how incredibly beautiful and peaceful that may have been. Now, for me, the picture in my mind of what the Garden of Eden may have looked like is the Bouchard Gardens, which is a world-famous gardens that are over 100 years old, located a few miles outside Victoria, British Columbia, on Vancouver Island in Western Canada. Well, we spent an afternoon there a few years ago when we were there for the feast. It was by far the most spectacular and beautiful, peaceful and serene gardens we have ever been to. Nothing we've ever seen before compared to the Bouchard Gardens up in Victoria. So when I try to picture what the Garden of Eden was like, pictures of the Bouchard Gardens now pop into my mind, a place of quiet peace and harmony with nature. It has helped me to picture in my mind what that perfect, peaceful garden that God created may possibly have been like. Adam and Eve were surrounded by beauty and the harmony and true peace as they looked after God's creation in the Garden of Eden he had created. Try to imagine just how beautiful their lives must have been in that garden. But sin interrupted that tranquility, that complete peace, and we can only imagine what that peace was like. Adam and Eve's sin ruined the peace God had created in the garden, and it also affected the peace they had with God, and it certainly affected the perfect peace they had in their relationship. Before Eve had that little chat with the serpent, they talked with God unashamed, but afterward they hid themselves from God. When God confronted them, it changed their peaceful relationship. Adam blamed his wife. Eve blamed the serpent. Their relationship would never be the same. We have conflict and strife in our relationships today, not the peace that God created or intended for us to have. It is God's desire for us to have peace. Peace in our families, peace in our relationships, peace in our church, and peace in our individual lives. We read here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, Peter said for us to be diligent to be found by him in peace. Let's read now the priestly blessing that God spoke to Moses for the children of Israel back in Numbers chapter 6. Turn, if you would, with me back to Numbers chapter 6. It's a blessing God spoke to Moses for the children of Israel through Aaron. Numbers chapter 6. And we'll read verses 22 through 27. Numbers 6, and begin in verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Part of this blessing from God for the children of Israel was to give them peace. True peace for us in our individual lives, in our families, and in the body of Christ can only be achieved through a close relationship with God and by the help of His Holy Spirit. A life lived without God, apart from Him at work in our lives, cannot be a complete and peaceful life. It is just not possible without God. Turn, if you would, with me to Psalm 29. Back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 29, and we'll read verse 11. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. He will bless his people with peace. True peace is one of the blessings we receive from God as that relationship grows. Turn now, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 26. Back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. And again, we'll just isolate one verse here, verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." We can have God's help for peace if we keep our mind on him and his ways, and if we put our complete trust and faith in him and draw closer to him through daily prayer and daily Bible study. Let's look now at what God says for those who do not have a relationship with him, built on obedience to his laws, faith in his promises, and trust in God and in his Son. While we're here in the book of Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48, and we'll read verse 22. Isaiah 48, 22. "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." And again in Isaiah 57 and verse 21, we won't turn there. But again, Isaiah says in Isaiah 57, 21, "There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." God makes his point very clear and concise here. No peace for the wicked. God has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light of his way of life. The path to having peace in our lives requires us to constantly flee wickedness and to seek the righteousness of God. True and lasting peace, the peace that we pray for every day, can only come from living by God's way of life. Putting our faith and trust in God should give us great peace in our lives. Now we know, brethren, that God's plan of peace for us is through our Savior, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at that in Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me back to Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Our peace will grow as our relationship with Christ grows. Paul says here that he is our peace. He paid the penalty for our sins and gave us the opportunity for eternal life in his very family. Let's now look briefly at a couple verses that we generally associate with the fall holy days and the millennium. Turn, if you would, back to Isaiah chapter 9. Again, they're appropriate any time, but we certainly do read these at the fall holy day season. Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll just read verse 6 and the first part of verse 7. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. One of the names for Christ given here is the Prince of Peace. Lasting peace will be fulfilled by and through Christ after he returns to earth and establishes God's government here. From that time on, there will be no end to the peace of God. What a glorious time we look forward to. What a glorious time that will be. Now, a first step for us to have peace, to be at peace, is to have a solid foundation in Christ and in God, to be connected to them through our daily prayers. Peace is a spiritual fruit that we should have in our lives, and we need Christ in us for the spiritual fruit of peace to grow. Turn back, if you would, to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I only had one little joke for today, and Marty already used it, so. John chapter 16, and we'll read verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me you may have peace. Christ can give us the peace we desire, and it is his desire for us to have that peace in our lives now. The understanding we have of Christ's life, his death, his resurrection, and the deep meaning for us personally should be a great source of the peace we have in our lives. That peace is another blessing from God for his first fruits. Now let's go back a few pages to John chapter 14. Back to John chapter 14. And we'll read verse 27. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Christ said, I leave you peace. I give you peace. So we don't need to be troubled and anxious. We can feel safe and not afraid. And we can have real peace in our lives today. The peace that we have grows through our obedience to God's laws. That's required. God's way of life is the only way of life that brings true and lasting peace, the peace that God gives. Psalm 119 and verse 165, you don't need to turn there, but as a reference, in Psalm 119, verse 165 said, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. As we grow and overcome in our obedience to God, we will grow in love for his law, and as a result, we can have greater peace in our lives. We all want the peace that God gives in our lives and to be found by him in peace. The topic of peace has many different aspects to it. For today, I'd like to ask us, or have us ask ourselves, just three questions as we consider the peace that we have in our lives. Now, I hope the three questions we will ask will get us thinking about peace, possibly help us to see where we can grow in the peace that God gives, and as a result, we can be found by Him in peace. The first question we can ask ourselves, am I at peace with God? Am I at peace with God? Now, of the three questions we'll ask ourselves today, this one may be the easiest one for us to answer. Our personal relationship with God should be one of great comfort to us and one that is growing in love and growing in the peace that only God can give us. Our relationship with God is the only relationship we have where one of the parties involved is perfect. If things aren't good in this relationship, there is only one person to blame. Our peace with God grows as our relationship with Him grows. It requires His Holy Spirit to be at work in and through us, which we received upon our repentance of our sins, baptism, having hands laid on us, and accepting Christ as our personal Savior. Turn now, if you would, back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Our peace with God must come through Christ by the power of His Holy Spirit. That peace can be affected when we don't feel God is answering our prayers, how or maybe when we think He should. He knows our needs, and His timing is perfect. The walls we sometimes may put up can keep us from having peace with God, and those walls can lead to bad choices of the paths we walk in our daily life, and that can keep us from growing in peace. Let's go back now to Isaiah chapter 59. Back to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. We read earlier in Isaiah that there is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. We can't have true peace without our personal relationship with God and without our obedience to His laws. It is the straight and narrow path in life that leads us to God's kingdom. Let's now go back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 9. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. The peace that God gives provides us the comfort and the security of His help in our lives and is the foundation for us to grow in other areas of peace. Part of being found by Him in peace is for us to be at peace with God. The next question for us to ask, do I have peace within me? Do I have peace within me? Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 122. This is one of David's songs of ascent. If you'll turn with me to Psalm 122, we'll read verses 6 through 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. In this song, David said, peace be within your walls and peace be within you. That means we want to strive to be at peace and strive to live in peace and to have peace within us, peace in our hearts. That sounds pretty easy in some ways, have peace within us, the peace that God gives us in our heart. But how often do we let day-to-day petty things disturb our inner peace? Many times the same things that affect our happiness and joy can certainly affect our peace. And it can happen to us pretty quickly if we're not on guard for it. Do we worry? Do we fret? Do we stress over what in reality are the small things in life, thus having a negative effect on the peace that God wants us to have within us? We know God can deliver us from any trial. We have faith and believe in His promises. Yet do we sometimes still have doubts, doubts and fears that can affect the peace that's in us? The Apostle Paul gave us the solution for our worries and our fears and our anxiousness. Turn, if you would, back to Philippians chapter 4. Back to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we all may have times when we feel anxious or worried or fearful, none of which will bring us peace. How difficult is this for us to do? Not worry and fret over things. Take everything to God in prayer. It's certainly easier to say than it is to do sometimes. But Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but go to God in sincere, thankful prayer and beseech God for His help and for the peace that only He can give. This is the way to have peace within us that we can only have through God's help. It's a spiritual issue for us, and it begins in our mind, and it takes time on our knees. Turn now, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 5 and 6. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we have the mind of Christ at work in us through the Holy Spirit, if we're striving to be spiritually minded, it will result in peace within us, the peace that God gives. It takes effort and it takes diligence on our part to have peace in us, to have it become part of our everyday life. We have to first desire to have peace, and then pray for God to help us to be at peace and to have the peace that He promises to give us. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 10 through 12. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. The more God is involved in our life, the more at peace we will be. The more we work to have peace, the more God will answer our prayers for peace. It takes prayer, it takes faith, and it takes trust in God, along with our diligence to seek peace, to have peace within us, and to be found by Him in peace. The last question that we'll ask ourselves today, am I at peace with others? Am I at peace with others? Now, this last area of peace that we'll look at today is, I believe, the most difficult of the three in many ways. Plus, if we think about it, it can have a big impact on the other two areas of peace that we've already talked about. If we don't have good relationships, peace with others, it can and it will affect our peace within us, and it certainly will affect our peace with God. Galatians chapter 5, of course, is where we find the fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23. Let's turn to Galatians 5 now, but we'll read a couple other verses, not 22 and 23, where we find the fruits of the Spirit. We know that peace is listed there, and we know that it's listed right after love and joy. But turn, if you would, with me now to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read verses 14 and 15. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Paul was addressing some big problems here in the churches in Galatia, and it's evident by his writings that they were not at peace with each other. He tells them to love others as you love yourselves, showing sincere and outgoing concern for others. Then in verse 15, he says, don't bite and devour one another, or you'll be consumed by one another. Strong words here from Paul regarding our relationships within the church. Don't bite and devour one another. We cannot have peace without good relationships with others. We don't have to be best friends with everyone, but we should strive for a good relationship with others. And we should always do our part to pursue peace with everyone. That certainly includes not speaking evil and gossiping about others. Are we ever guilty of that? Turn now to Psalm 34. Back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 34, and we'll read verses 13 and 14. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. Here David says, to seek peace, that means we have to look for it. We have to work for it, not expect someone else to do it. Then he says to pursue peace, to go after it with intense effort. To pursue something, you have to really want it. Then you have to go all out to get it. Do we pursue peace with others that way? Here's an example maybe that we can all relate to. As some of you may know, some of you may not, we have a year-and-a-half-old puppy named Sam. He is a golden doodle, lots of energy. And the other day, Sam was out in the backyard with me and he spotted a rabbit. Now he pursued that rabbit with intense effort. He really, really wanted that rabbit. He went after that thing with everything he had in him. Now he's never caught a rabbit, so I'm not sure what he would do if he actually caught one. But I can tell you that he really, really wanted to catch that rabbit. Of course, the rabbit was quicker and outmaneuvered Sam. He's pretty gangly. And Sam just gave it his all to get that rabbit. But the next time he sees that rabbit, if he has a chance, he'll pursue that rabbit with the same intensity. Just because he wasn't successful in catching that rabbit that time, he'll try just as hard to catch it the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Sam won't give up on that rabbit. Is that how we pursue peace with others? Do we pursue it with intense effort? Do we continue to pursue it when we're not successful after one or two attempts? Or do we just give up? Or do we think it's not our responsibility? Do we blame someone else? Turn with me back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. If we don't pursue peace and have peace in our relationships, the writer of Hebrews says no one will see the Lord. And verse 15 warns us that any root of bitterness will cause trouble. If we don't have peaceful relationships, if we aren't constantly pursuing peace with others, then a root of bitterness can and will keep us from having the peace that God expects us to have. Verse 14 of Hebrews 12 starts out with, pursue peace with all men. We are to seek good relationships that are peaceful with everyone we come in contact with. Sometimes that can be a tall order for us, can it? This, of course, includes our families. It includes our friends, our co-workers at work, and all others outside the body of Christ. And of course, and most importantly, we should have peace in our church family where God's Spirit is at work in all of us. Let's turn to Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll read verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. And now skip down to verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. We are all members of the same body in God's church, all members of the body of Christ. Without peaceful relationships among ourselves, if there are schisms and unresolved issues that are affecting us, we cannot properly care for one another, as we all know we're responsible to do. We don't need to turn there. We all know the verse. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, in peace. This is talking of peaceful relationships with all of our church family members. In the most recent Friday Night Live, Mr. Mark Winter used a quote from Naomi Judd that I'd like to repeat here. She said, peace isn't the absence of problems. It is the ability to deal with them. If there are things you can't change, then change the way you react to it. We all have to do it for ourselves. I'd like to repeat that. Peace isn't the absence of problems. It is the ability to deal with them. If there are things you can't change, then change the way you react to it. We all have to do it for ourselves. Some people don't love peace. They just hate conflict. But just hating conflict is not the same as seeking peace. We saw that we are to pursue peace and to seek peace with everyone. When there is discord in our families, it affects the peace and the unity of our family. When there is discord among the members of the body of Christ, it affects the peace and the unity of the whole body, the church. Our relationships with each other have an effect on the honor and the glory that God expects, that He deserves, and that He requires of each one of us. Let's turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and we'll read verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. The old saying, if you don't have something good to say, don't say anything, can be applied here. Negative words about others can never be used to edify, only to tear down. What will we talk about after services today? When we drive home from church today, can we say all of our conversations were positive and edifying others? Turn back to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. The Apostle Paul here is giving a reminder to Titus, and it's certainly a good reminder for all of us as well. Titus chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. There's a lot packed into these two short verses, but the takeaway for us today as it relates to our subject is we should speak evil of no one, but we should be peaceable, gentle, and humble in all our relationships. Turn now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin here in verse 12. We'll read verses 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, the heading in my Bible above this section of Scripture is the character of the new man, describing some of the attributes of the character that God wants to see growing in each one of us. Part of that righteous, godly character is stated in verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. That means we are pursuing peace with others from our hearts, sincerely, from the inside out. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and we'll read verses 16 through 18. James chapter 3, and begin in verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Part of growing in righteousness is to be actively working at being a peacemaker. Christ listed being a peacemaker as one of the Beatitudes that he listed for us in Matthew chapter 5. We won't turn there, but in Matthew 5, verse 9, Christ said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We all want to be in the family of God at Christ's return. The sons and daughters of God, his family members, are to be peacemakers. We should be pursuing peace with everyone we come in contact with extra effort and extra attention put into peace within the household of faith. There is much more in God's word about peace, about pursuing peace, about seeking the peace that God gives in our life. It's a spiritual fruit that he wants to see growing in all of us. But we've read scriptures today that tell us that God wants us to pursue peace, he wants us to seek peace, and he wants us to be a peacemaker. When we pray for the peace that God gives, we can ask for peace with God, for peace in us, and for peace with others in our relationships. And we began today by reading 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And I would like us to turn there again as we conclude. Please join me in 2 Peter chapter 3, once again, verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. I'd like to conclude with this encouragement for all of us. Let's be diligent to be found by him in peace.